The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
Here we go. Here we go. Monday, October the 28th, 2 o'clock. Life is a Gamble, hosted by Melvin Prince Jonathan. Na, 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 na. Na, 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 na. Hey, hey, hey. Goodbye. I'm sorry. That might be a little premature. We like a week away. I don't think they've done enough. I don't think the Republicans done enough. Matter of fact, when the vice president was here and she went down the hoagie place, she bought one hoagie for herself. When Dave McCormick was here, he went down Erie Avenue. He spent $2,000 giving out steaks at $19, $20 a piece. The long ones, not the short ones, not the half ones. He gave out the long one. So I'm beginning to feel as though, and I had a very busy week, you know, Congressman of Florida, Donalds came in town. We sat with him, had a barbershop meeting with him. I have a few pictures up on the website. Gave out turkeys in the Northeast with Dave McCormick. So we're really pushing the agenda of the Republican agenda. And people say, so why are you Republican and why are you voting for Republicans? And I say, well, I've always been one. We've always been one. As a group, as a race of people, we've always been one. So why are you so lazy? Why are you so in the midst of wanting handouts? Why are you not competing? Why are you not developing a system that competes against another system? You are accepting of so many things. You know, you're empathetic of so many, in so many ways. You're accepting the school system as it stands, although your kids are failing and being left behind and are not accomplishing the grades or not competing and stuff like that. And so these things matter. You got to make them matter. You cannot be so starstruck that you think your pastor is a superstar or that your pastor and the first lady should be rewarded. What kind of nonsense is that? If you can't pay your rent, pay your mortgage, you can't work a decent job so you can take a vacation, and yet you tied and you got the $100 tied or you got the $1,000 tied. This makes no sense at all. It makes no sense at all. It makes you appear to be weak. And you got all these men out here who don't stand up and carry the mantle for themselves, who hasn't passed the baton to the younger generation, but yet now you want to run behind this woman right here. She's not even married to nobody who look like you. And not just that, she's not married to nobody who look like you. Plus, she's not even using his name. Are you kidding me? Be honest with yourself. You're looking all in the mirror trying to figure out, you know, who you are. And yet you, before you answer that question, they're telling you to vote like your life depend on it. Follow somebody else. They got all these hosts who look like you and I who speak at you. They don't speak into your life. They can't tell you how to improve your situation. You've already been sold out in so many different ways. You can't even tell me a community that you own no more. So look, we're not even going to waste time. We're going straight to the lines, and we're going to be on the phone all day because we are a week away from changing the system. And I'm telling you, if you want a chance to come and rock out with me, you know I'm Prince, the Republican guy. You already know that. Shouldn't have to explain that to you. I'm also the guy that would help you if you need help. I'm also the guy that would give you resources if you need resources. I'm also the guy that's going to give you turkeys, whether you're Democrat or Republican. I'm also the guy that's going to give you bikes come Christmas time, whether you're Democrat or Republican. But I tell you what we're going to do is we're going to vote next week. Get out the vote. I don't care who you vote for. I just want you to get out the vote. But you already know who I'm voting for. So look, we're going right to the phones. Hello. This is my first caller. Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Ah, oh, man, it's always good to talk to a queen. Always good to talk to a queen. How are you?
Thank you, my king. I am doing well. I am doing well. I'm here in Atlanta. We just finished up the conference, Garfield, you know, from a standpoint of Dr. Scott.
How was that conference? Oh, man.
It was amazing.
It was amazing. Talk to me a little bit about it.
You know, Garfield, which is founded by Dr. Daryl Scott, who is our founder and chairman, who is just phenomenal, wants to make sure that
I see him on that commercial. I see Dr. Daryl Scott, and then I see Ben Carson. I'm like, look at the two doctors up there representing.
Yeah, and that's what he does, right? Because his standpoint is he really wants our communities to understand that in a nation where we're supposed to be free to make a democratic, you know, decision from a republic, why is it that in this particular time and culture, if you are not Black, and it doesn't matter what your culture is, what your race is, what your religion is, what your sex is, it does not matter what your zip code is, you have the ability to vote for whoever you choose, Democrat, Republican, Independent, Green Party, Tea Party. And Dr. Scott wants individuals to recognize that Black Americans, African Americans, however you may classify yourself respectfully, you know, we all began as Republicans. It was the Republicans who ensured our freedom. It was the Republicans who fought for us for a standpoint of civil rights. It was the majority of what we currently are fighting against.
Again, years later, right. Our generation right. is fighting for what has supposedly been solidified at some time in history. And do you realize what you making those statements like that? It is so profound that these folks run around here on Martin Luther King Day and celebrate Martin Luther King as if Martin Luther King wasn't a Republican.
He was a Republican.
Exactly. They run around here with all these nonprofit programs, but they fail to tell the African American kids in these schools right here, you should lead with that. You should put he was a Republican, and we're celebrating this holiday because he died fighting for civil rights. And I was talking to a Caucasian man earlier today out in Bryn Mawr, yes. And he said that it cost him a car battery. And me and my co-board members was saying, what do you mean by he said, because the day that they had murdered or he had died, Martin Luther King had died, the white community had, in solidarity to him, they left their high beams on, they left their lights on their cars for that whole weekend. And I was saying to him that we're going to have an event at Bryn Mawr Hospital, I mean at Bryn Mawr Library,
right,
that will allow him and about 8 or 9 of his other guys he grew up with to explain how they felt that day to a bunch of our children and not give them this, you need to be doing some kind of servitude work or you need to not be able to work at all. So two things, either you don't work, so you be lazy, or you go ahead and work on a holiday that's deemed for you with no real history spoken to you.
Right, and that's really the essence of Garfield, to provide education, information, and history that is true and it's truth, not someone's fantasy or someone's delusion or someone's elimination, that we be able to allow people to speak to their truths about right. what's happening with them and in their communities. So from a standpoint of Dr. Scott, Garfield, myself being the executive director of Garfield, and I want to celebrate you, Prince, for all the work that you are doing and how you've rallied with Garfield and pulled together from the NFL to the business owners to the community members and the door knocking and the phone banking and just being right there in solidarity so that we're not condemning our people for their choices. We're right. just giving them the information so that they make the right decision.
We're about to do 30%, 40%. This is going to be a surprise in Philadelphia. Philadelphia is going to change the game. We game changers now. They, you know, come on. We game changers now. Look.
Now they're about to have a conversation. Right now, we know that there are tokens that are in the office, and those tokens are puppets. They're only going to speak as they're told. We're going to talk about the fact that within our educational system, 80% of our schools are physically failing, but yet the schools in the cities are getting 100% of the funding per that
all
pupil.
Of it. Every drop, system. Every dime of money that's allocated, these come guys on. Are receiving all of it. And so, you know,
then we want to talk about her. They're voting for her, somebody that's saying that they're going to give $6,000 in tax credit. What is that going to do for that family when, in fact, the tax credit that they give, they can't even get the proper child care through the child care providers because the funding won't attach to those child care providers? They got to go through a third party. So now you physically get money to actually end up spending more money to get less resources on the taxes that you're physically paying for. If we don't understand how health and human services work, how Head Start works, how early childhood works, how school readiness works, and how that plays into the factor of how our kids get to elementary school, kindergarten, things of that nature. And if they're not reading at the right age by the third grade, then now we have the overall prison, which then dictates what dollars are coming into our community. And watch this, Prince. This is what kills me. They say that our communities are not a commodity, but yet they use our communities as the economic thermometer to determine how much money goes into that community. After
there you
they
go. There you go. The now, okay. Let me help you out. Right. Let me tag team. Okay. I'm a tag go team. Ahead. I'm getting the ring with you
come
with
on,
this right
get
here.
It. Get
so so
get
so
it.
So so they say low and very low income.
Come on.
And
come
how is that even a concept when you're putting 26 million inside of a community? How is it not the commodity that you need, that you now got the commodity calling themselves low and very low income, but on the books, when you look at the numbers, I'm spending $26 million. This is our collective bargaining agreement to go with my collective commodity. That's why I got a waiting list for it. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I got the next batter up. No father, four kids, under 26. You know, I got the next batter up. I got a whole system filled with the next batter up. And then they're building the houses brand new, spending $26 million, and they got bars on them. So let me understand something. There's low crime rate. There's low crime rate. There's no crime rate. You know, you spending $26 million, and you still putting bars on windows and doors. And so let me ask you something. How does a four-year-old get out the house? There's a fire with the bars on there. You know what I mean? I don't understand that. And you don't say anything about it because the people working don't live in that community. The people building it don't live in that community. The people making decisions are at the table and don't give a hoot about that community because the commodity, nobody's fighting for them. They don't put everybody in the Democratic office that look like them, and yet they can't get the services. And then you talk about the middle class. It'd be hard-pressed for her to understand what the middle class actually looks like because if you're saying that there's not as many African-Americans, there are more Caucasian than there are African-Americans, that means that the middle class is more Caucasian than African-Americans. So where are you helping the middle class at? Are you helping them in Chicago? Are you helping them in Detroit? Are you helping them in Camden, in Chester, in Philadelphia? Like you're not even getting specifics out of her.
Come on, my king. What they're doing is they are helping one another by keeping us in fear. They're helping one another to ensure that they have access to the resources and the monies and the boats and the houses and the things that they want to have for their children and their grandchildren. Watch this. There's a welfare system. And there's only a difference between one difference between the individuals that receive welfare assistance and the people that work in the office. And that the only difference is that the people are working in the office, but they're still getting their check from the same place. So
exactly.
If people are getting a check to be able to pay for their mortgage, to be able to pay for their kids' college and their health care, why are they going to try to better for you? Because they feel if they make it better for you and then you're no longer there, how are they going to live?
Now,
and that's the problem that we have.
Check this out. Check this out. I've seen it. I see that way, but I'm going to show you another way. Another way is that the mere fact that person who is on some kind of assistance, right, who live in the three-bedroom house that we just built, you know what I mean, with off-street parking and maybe even a driveway, right? If they don't work at all, then their rent is reduced, right? No matter what kind of condition they're in, their rent is reduced. And so, and then if they work and do really good, go to school, get a decent job, don't want to move, we got a cap rent for them. So they'll never pay what the market rate value would be up to 30%. So it's capped. And so you have the resentment in the office because they put these people against each other. They put the black workers in DHS against the black mom who needs the services. They put the black workers in welfare against the black mom who needs the services. And the black mom who needs the services is part of a collective systemic system.
That's right.
You mad at her, and it's not even her fault. She's just trying to put hot water. She's trying to have hot water and a roof over them kids' head, and a mom would do anything in a desperate state to make sure her kids got somewhere to lay their heads at and stuff like that.
Come on.
And yet you one paycheck away, mad at the very, not mad at the system. You ain't getting mad at the system. You just mad because you can't take the small paycheck and go party like you keep balling out, like you keep looking on your phone, and you know, you can't buy the Remy hair at $700. You can't get the nails done, you know what I mean, for $1,000. You're too old and you too bitter and mad. That's why you ain't got no man providing that for you. And so you get mad at them. And so when you go inside those systems, man, when you go inside, when you go inside them systems and you see, you know, this is why I give out certain things for Christmas. I give out bikes. If I'm giving out bikes, I'm making sure everybody in public housing out of 42 sites can come somewhere and pick up bikes and stuff like that. I give out tangible stuff that they can use on the same. I don't give out sneakers. Okay. I don't give out clothes that they can't fit. I give out bikes. Everybody in that house from age 4 on up to 18 can ride bike.
Amen. I received that. I want to go back to something because you asked me a question about the conference, and what you just said leads into that. That was exactly why Dr. Scott wanted us to participate in the DLI, because we had pastors from all around the world, bishops, pastors, community members, business owners, and leaders. And what they were all saying from a standpoint of what Dr. Garland Hunt had pulled together and then what Garfield had assisted in that process was, it's not good for us to continue working in isolation. We have to be unified. We have to have an agenda. We have to have a plan of action. We have to create legislation, and we have to know what legislation already exists, so that when those individuals, for instance, that are living in those 42 housing sectors, they need to know about Section 3 and what employment means in that realm. When we're talking about development of Section 202 for elderly housing, we need to know what that means for our senior citizens. And we need not be able to work on it in a compartmental situation, but we need to be able to work on it collectively together so it's happening within all our communities. We need to be in a situation where there's our moms and our dads who have the ability to be an entrepreneur and they're running a business. We need to understand that when people ask them to submit their plans and things of that nature and then don't give them money, but yet they then turn around and see something pop up in their community that looks like their business that they submit.
Exactly they like they plan. Remember we had Come this on. Conversation on the phone, and I said yes. because they call me a specialist in this area. So I've done real well in making it happen and bringing it to fruition. And so when we was on the phone, I say, so why don't we do a first responder plan? What did they say? Well, what is that? I say, so you know, the EMTs and them people, they get not just hazardous pay for walking up and seeing dead bodies and seeing injuries and stuff like that, bullet wounds and stuff like that. They also get first responders pay. So there's a grant called the First Responder Grant that you could use in some of these some of these titled low income, which is systemic poverty places, that could have them do everything from security on construction site, run a water truck on construction site, that could have them do landscaping and snow removal as the first responders for all the senior homes. So I understand something. You're not trying to empower people who you call low and very low income, but you run all that money through there. But the ones you incarcerate, the first thing you do is have them clean the roads, clean the highways, you know, cut the grass. So you empowering them as long as they're standing behind the wall. But the ones that's not behind the walls, you're not empowering them to get out and be better and be have an opportunity to move forward and stuff like that. And so this is why this election is important. This is not because she's a woman and he's a guy. I mean, now you put us. This is not it. The bigger picture is, can we change the game? Can November the 6th change the game? And a lot of people are going to be disappointed.
Let me say this to your listeners, because they're probably thinking, oh, she's a staunch Republican. As listeners and you're out there, let me help y'all understand something. I am a registered Democrat. I got elected to office at 28 years old. I watched the process of the budget from a standpoint of local, state, and federal. I watched how they moved the money. I watched how they paid no attention to other communities, only to take the money to give it to third parties, then to feed back breadcrumbs to those that they felt were going to be good enough to get it if they were obeying what they were being told. For me, it was a problem seeing my people be led to the slaughter. And so it was important for me.
Now, Ms. Stevenson, I'm going to give you the last 30 seconds. I got callers on the other line. I want you to give me 30 seconds, and I'm going to go to a commercial, and I'm going to come back and get one of my co-hosts, Wanda Walker, from the other side. So go ahead and take that 30 seconds and close us out. How did the conference in Atlanta close? That's what I'm interested in. Can you give me 30 seconds?
The conference in Atlanta closed with everybody being unified, collectively coming together, not voting in emotion, but voting based upon moral character, compassion, and passion. Therefore, primarily everyone that was there, they're voting Trump. They're tired. They're voting Trump. And so all we informed individuals was vote on the basis of the premise of what you say your belief is. And if you believe in Christ, then there's no way that you can vote for the agenda of the other party. There's just no way.
Oh, man, I thank you so much. I appreciate you so much. You know, you got a home here on every Monday from 2 to 3 on Life is a Gamble. Now, everybody who calls, I ask them a fundamental question. Are you rolling the dice or are you giving them to somebody else?
Come on. I know. I love you, Prince, and I thank you. And I thank you for everything you do. My guy, you get it done every single time. So I just want to hear.
I know you're rolling them. I'm going to go to commercial. I thank you for calling. Then I'm going to take a short commercial break, and I'm going to come back and get Wanda Walker on the other side.
You got it.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Here's an important message for everyone who drives a motor vehicle. Every day, an average of 2 emergency responders are struck by vehicles while working on the road. Some don't survive. Others are critically injured and can no longer perform their life-saving jobs. In 2019, 44 emergency responders were struck and killed while working to help others on the road. Sadly, it looks like that number will be even higher in 2020. Firefighters, police officers, paramedics, tow truck operators, and every responder needs your help, and they need it now. Do your part to keep everyone safe on the road. When you see flashing lights of any color on the road ahead of you, slow down, move over, and give them room to work. It's the law in Pennsylvania. Police are cracking down, and penalties for violators are on the rise. This message is brought to you by Penntime and the Beasley Media Group. Learn more about Pennsylvania Traffic Incident Management at penntime.com.
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away,
know when to run.
You never count
your money while sitting at the table.
There'll be time enough for counting
when the deal is done. Wanda, how are you? I'm fired up.
I'm fired up, man. I'm fired up, too, because not enough people are awake. And I like the way your guest ended. If your belief, how do you go against your beliefs?
Exactly.
That's really important right there.
Now, Wanda, I know you're not in the studio today, but I'm going to keep you on hold for the duration because I got 2 very important guests that are coming on. You, but I want you to co-host with me because I know you had been in the studio in a couple weeks and stuff like that because I know you've been out there fighting a good fight. But I told you every time when you call me, we're going to give me an update. So in about 2 minutes, give me an update of what went on down city council. I did see a young man speaking about some things. He had the podium. They had like American flag shirts on or something like that. You know, oh, I think he regurgitated the same thing you said. You know, it's got to be a little bit more than turkeys and tampons, right?
Yes, most definitely. That was the group that's with O'Bonnell Hagen, Friedman Group, and they are fighting for us to have an office, a Friedman office, for us to get reparations, so on and so forth. So that's the group that you saw, and he has a wonderful group of people, and it's just growing because so many people are tired. And yes, they regurgitate a lot of the things that I say. And city council last Thursday, once again, as always, giving out property to the land bank, and it had to be like 50 plus. But the other thing that was noted on the agenda for the bills, they are now starting to target neighborhoods for parking. So you're going to have to pay for parking, or you're going to have to pay for whatever, the special license plate tag or whatever. And this is just crazy. We're the number one poorest big city for a reason. How do you keep trying to pull money out of our pockets if we are the number one poorest big city paying the most taxes? And you run on a campaign saying you're not going to raise taxes, and damn it, the taxes aren't raised. Like, come on. The Office of Property Assessment, we already know they're discriminatory in how they do it, because David O. and Alan Dom used to fight and talk about this all the time. So you raise our taxes. Every single job site you go to, I defy a caller today, because when I said this to someone else, they was like, oh, yeah. I said, go to any place where they're building this so-called affordable housing that's never affordable, because it still has to be subsidized.
Never affordable.
Everybody around this new development, now your taxes go up and you become the next round of properties that end up being given to the land bank.
42%.
This is a house hustle.
42%. You didn't raise them 9%. You didn't raise them 8%. You raised them 42%. And I want you to stay.
I heard 48.
I want you to stay on the line, because I want you to co-host with me, because I got a woman who's coming on, and she has this organization, you know, that's building hope. You know what I mean? Her name is Hope. And she's building hope. And so, and she's also a Republican. You know, I got my whole squad to seem like Republicans calling today, though. So, Hope, are you there?
Yes, I am. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
Oh, man. Tell us a little bit about your organization, Hope.
Well, I started this group called Republicans with Hope, and it's a political action committee based in PA. I started it because I couldn't take what was happening in my country. And I'm a moderate on social issues, but I couldn't take what was happening on the border, what was happening with crime, inflation, the fentanyl crisis, what was happening in our military. I come from a military family. I have people in my family that are disabled, and I see what's happening with the empty Northtown Hospital. It's empty there for the homeless. There's no homeless shelter there. But we're giving all this money to the immigrants that are coming here illegally. And I just said to myself, this is not right, and I'm going to change it. So I started this movement, Republicans with Hope.
Now tell us where your daughter is right now.
My daughter lives in Israel. I have a daughter that lives in Israel.
And how often do you communicate with her? Is she okay?
Almost every day. And she has a four-year-old son, and so it's very, very difficult for her to leave there. And so the Israeli people and the people that live in Israel are incredibly defiant and resilient. What they do is that they live their lives, even though what's going on with the wars, the bomb shelters. Every other day, my daughter has to run to a bomb shelter. So people don't really realize, Prince, what's really going on there. So I have, you know, the front row of what's happening. And
Hope, when we sat at the table with you, and because a lot of folks have been rocked asleep with this level of ignorance and stuff like that, and so they're more concerned about this election and getting their favorite girl in, opposed to the dynamics of how this election and why this election is so important. And so when we sit at the table and we ask you about Israel, and we ask you about your daughter and stuff like that, we're probably only few people who do that, who ask you about your kids abroad and your kids here. And as a mom and as a wife, you're not afraid to tell us about these things. And we understand it coming from you and listening to you talk about these issues and stuff like that. So tell us how we could help your nonprofit.
Well, the thing is that helping my nonprofit, go to my website, republicanswithhope.com. There you can communicate with me. We're planning a wonderful celebratory event, December 15th, mm-hmm. and it's going to be at the Belmont Hills Firehouse. I welcome everybody to come out. It's going to be called Sweet Sunday Celebration from 1 to 4 to thank all the volunteers that have helped me, republicanswithhope.com. And join us in the fight. And we're really going to hopefully win this election, bring people together, break bread together, and move forward.
Hope, I thank you for calling in. I appreciate it. And I tell you what, so I always ask folks before they leave when they call in, are you rolling the dice or are you passing them?
I'm definitely going to hold the dice. How does that sound?
I know that's right. There you go.
I'm going to hold the dice.
Thank you so much. I tell you what, so coming up next, we have one of our good friends, and my good friend of my show, Kathleen Buckley. We're going to go to her, Hope. I want you to keep listening to us. I want you to listen the whole hour because we got some good people coming up. Okay, Hope?
Fabulous show. I'm a big fan. Thank you so much for having me.
Bye-bye. Kathy, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Oh, man, we're looking for you to, you know, arrive. Please arrive for us. Please, you know, make it happen so we can count on somebody in high places. How about that?
That would be great. And it's looking good right now.
Good, good.
You know, they always say, you know, when you start getting the attacks, you're right over the target.
And when they get scared of you, you're not doing anything until they're scared of you. You know, they start coming at you, then you're doing something right. Let me introduce you to my co-host,
Kathy. They're doing good.
I know you spoke to her before, but Wanda Walker's on the line. She's not in the studio, but she's on one of the lines here. Wanda, did you want to ask Kathy a question? Are you still there,
Wanda? How much are they attacking you? Because they're attacking me over here, too, but that's okay. I'm built for it.
Yep, so am I. And they forgot. I work in construction, and, you know, it's never been easy. So
exactly
it's just
right.
Another day at work.
One of the things that I have done to just get people talking, on the back of my car, I have No, the number 2, and then Kamala, and it's crossed out. And when people ask me if I can talk, I talk. If I can, I hand them a sheet of paper with 38 reasons why I'm not voting for Kamala. And usually 30 of them they didn't even know about. I also make sure I post on Facebook all new information that I'm getting.
Well, you know what, Wanda?
Sends me something.
In the next 5 days, Kathy's going to need some support. And I'm trying to call all of my, we go through a friend, we have a mutual friend and stuff like that. And so I'm trying to rally up, you know, 30 to 40 folks, you know, and get them to just get behind her, man. Not spiritually. I like when everybody say, I'm going to send my prayers. No, I need your feet. I need your feet. I need your hands. I need your physical help to get behind Kathy.
I need the prayers too.
I don't want to, you know, they always say in our community, they say faith without works is dead, right, Wanda? You know, we ain't going to give you the faith. We're going to give you the works. And so I'm going to see if I can coordinate with your people, Kathy, to see if we can. We had a bunch of folks that came out this week with the Congressman Donald coming here. We had over 60, 70 African-American Republican men who had came out. And the 24th, I had 1,000 men boots on the ground. So I got about 600. And the folks like John Fetterman couldn't believe that there was that many African-American Republicans in Philadelphia. And so we're here. And so we're willing to travel and be around and get around to help folks that we know that are knocking doors and that are just good, that'll be someone that we could reach when they get in high places. So, Ms. Kathy, I'm going to give you the last 30 seconds. And you tell me a little bit about what it is we need to do for you and what it is that you are doing.
What am I doing? I'm door knocking like crazy. I'm going to every event I can, and I'm trying to get the word out. Mm-hmm. Right now, it's just get my name out there. It seems like it is getting out there, mm-hmm. but I just need a little bit more just to push me over the finish line. And I want them to be aware I am for them. I am not going to sit there and do the same old, and I'm going to be there to protect these kids. I mean, they're getting hammered every different way. They're getting hammered in the school. You know, they're not getting a great education. You know, crime's going up in the suburbs. everyone's moving from the city out there, and they're bringing all the bad ideas out.
Yes, they
and
are.
And I want to say,
ideas.
We
I know
fix
that's
that.
Right. I like the way you put that, the bad ideas. But look, I'm going to let you go. I'm going to take a 1-minute break. Wanda, I want you to stay on the line, co-host with me. I got Robert Williams coming up, and I got Bryant. So give me, and Kathy, we're going to coordinate with your people and see if we can mobilize and help you out there.
Okay.
Oh, thank you.
All right, Wanda, hold on a minute.
Much.
I'm going to take a 1-minute break.
Have a great
day. All right, you too. Thank you.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America.
I joined the Navy to serve my country as a Navy SEAL. While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open. And I broke my neck. It left me paralyzed. Paralyzed Veterans of America was by my side from that moment on.
Since 1946, Paralyzed Veterans of America has kept a promise to our wounded veterans. We will never leave a fallen comrade behind.
Thanks to PVA, paralyzed veterans are getting specialized medical care and treatments. The benefits they've earned, the jobs they want, and the accessible vehicles and homes they need.
I just don't think my family would be as happy as they are without the support that I received from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
To learn more, go to PVA.org today.
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up,
know when to walk away, know when to run. You never count. Robert, how are you today? Robert, can you hear me?
I'm good. I'm good. Yes, I am. I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I got my co-host, Wanda Walker, on the line as well.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing? How you doing today? How's everything?
I might have to get Robert, a late night talk show with that deep baritone voice. I don't know. Is it Barry White or what? What's going on, man? How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing really, really well, man. Doing really good, man. Everything is really exciting that's going on right now, and it feels good today.
Well, we're talking politics, man. We're talking politics. We're talking getting out the vote. We're talking, you know, we're a week away from changing, you know, the United States of America.
Well, the one thing I want to add to the dialogue for everybody to remember at this point, this is the general election, not a primary. Mm-hmm. And general election, corporate America is about business. It's about your interests. It's about your self-interest, mm-hmm. your community self-interest. And everybody remember that, because some of the red and blue, unfortunately, creates a distraction when you have a lot of black men that are blue, so to say, that may be voting red. And or if they're not sure if they want to vote red because of historical ideology that they got to contend with, because many of us had to deal with that before we, you know, looking at the system. But you have a lot that were looking to vote for something I call common sense, looking for things that create opportunities, because they gave the other side a trial for so long, and it, you know, some things haven't trickled down to them.
Man, we just sat in the barbershop, you and I, chair to chair, with the congressman from Florida. And the question there is, why is it that we need to sit with a congressman from Florida, regardless of his party? Why can't we sit with our congressmen that are here? You know, why can't they come to the barbershop? Why can't they come sit with us? Why can't they understand what we are going through? We're still in those same neighborhoods, regardless of what party we are from. We're still in those same neighborhoods. So the bullet just don't go through a Democrat house without it being heard by a Republican and us stepping outside the door and seeing if we can offer a Band-Aid or offer a ride to the hospital. So why can't our congressman come and sit with us?
Well, the best part that has happened, and I always shout out, thank you, Chicago, for being upset with some of the challenges in your community.
And Detroit.
It hasn't happened enough. In Detroit, it hasn't happened enough, because in the black community, celebrity title on politicians is higher than ever before. It's way too high across the country for every elected person who is there to represent us. They should, you know, give them respect. That's good. They're doing their job. But their whole talking to you that were talking at you and taking votes for granted or taking the black community for granted, or we getting the Band-Aid are things that feel like it's a free service.
Or the crumbs.
And you don't have to put no effort behind.
Or the crumbs.
And that's a crumb. And that is a setup that we have seen happen. Everybody got all the great old stories when our people were working like they should have. They dealt with a lot of challenges in society. Let's not forget history. Let's talk more history, not less history. But in too many recent years, to get our people organized together in the community on the other side and have a conversation after this election, I think a lot of them on the other side are going to have a lot more conversations like ever before. I think we have a time before,
like ever before. And I tell you like this right here.
Right.
And so, and I don't know if you ever met Wanda Walker, but if you haven't, I'm going to introduce you to guys. Because Wanda be down city. She took it upon herself to go down city council. Just to see, what's going on with my money? Why am I having so many problems with these utility companies? Why are they taxing me, on my businesses and not taxing the person who driving the Maserati who live in a bad, who getting heavily subsidized with a Maserati? And I'm not saying that we profiling people, but I'm saying we profiling people. Like, are you kidding me?
I
don't want you living that way. Now, I know you done scared the other counterparts from talking this way right here, but that's okay. If they don't want to, I'm going to tell you. You know what I mean? You're not going to buy a $700 Remy hair. You're not going to go get on $1,000 nails and pedicures and all that stuff right here and only pay $25 a month for rent. That's not happening. I'm going to give you a plan. We're going to empower you. You know what I mean? You're going to go ahead and reposition yourself. Not an $800 car note and pay $25 for rent. We're not going to do that. We're going to give you an $800 mortgage.
Right.
And then let you go ahead and work on, your roof or work on your utilities in your house and stuff like that. But we can't, you're putting us against each other, and you're working us like runaway slaves, to a point where we defending ourselves against somebody who look like us. And that's what we have to stop. You know what I mean?
And the one lesson I want to make sure we make clear, the it's kind of hard to fight the they when the they look like us, but it's the same system we were fighting 100 years ago, 50 years ago, 80 years ago. The same system that the Susan B. Moore's fought with, they did a great job of waking it up, but we let it go back to sleep, and we're fighting the same system. It's just psychologically hard because they look like us in the mirror, and the worst part is not just look like us, we know them.
Yeah, you know what? And so... all the people who don't know you, I'm going to have the African American Republican Club is going to have a come out and meet an African American Republican Day. And when we have that day, you'll come meet Robert Williams and he'll tell you about, if you need your taxes done, if you need some incorporation and all that stuff done. It's done for a fee, but you'll have somebody that's diligent on what they do and they do the best at it. And so we're going to have a day. It's going to come meet at African-American Republican. Not all of us call ourselves black. We say African-American. And come talk to us. Come meet us. We're doing some great things in this city right here. So if we can't get it done on the left, then come on the right. Come out at us. So, Robert, I'm going to let you go. I got a couple callers. I got a veteran on
the
line.
All right. Thank you very much. I won't be a stranger.
Hold up, Rob. Hold up. Now, I want to ask you a question now. Are you rolling the dice or are you passing them?
Well, you can't get a 7 if you don't roll.
I know that's right. Everybody so far is rolling these dice, man. Don't ever give your responsibility to how you live to somebody else. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
If it's only you, then you make the best decision for you. All right, I'm gonna jump off the line. Thank you so much, man.
I'll talk to you next Monday, man.
You always got a home here. All right.
All right, brother. All
okay, right. My veteran of the day, Brian.
Hey, Prince.
Hey, man, how are you? Hey, so I got my co-host Wanda Walker on the line.
Hey, Wanda.
Hi. Also Republican. I had a run of Republicans today. Thank you for calling in, Brian. Very much. I just spoke to Kathy and stuff like that, and I told my listening audience whatever we can do, to support her because. What she's doing is very important, man. And what you've done for our country and what you continue to do for our city is very important. So we truly appreciate that. And I just wanted to recognize that. And I know you want to run something past me real quick. So you can run it past me and Wanda. Tell me what prompted you to call.
All right. First of all, the show sounds great. I've been listening to you guys for weeks and weeks now. And I think you're doing a great job. I was calling for one reason, and then I heard you're welcome. Then I heard Kathy on the line, and I thought, oh my God, Kathy Buckley. You know, you're seeing her mailers out there. You're seeing her get online. You're seeing her presence online, and I really think she's going to do a hell of a job next Tuesday. I do. She's putting a nice team together out there. I went to her website. What is it, BuckleyForPA.com. Tell your listeners, go check that out. Kathy Buckley's really going to help us out, man. She's the real deal.
It's always good to meet them before they get there, and then you have a friend when they are there that you can reach out to. Because some people say, well, where were you when I was knocking on doors, or where were you when I was pounding the sidewalk and stuff like that? Now, that's kind of a legitimate question, but then when you get there, you know, the where were you question goes away. You just got to help whatever the need is, because there's so much hurt and so much displacement and so much misinformation nowadays that you just got to help where the need is, right?
I couldn't agree more. And you know, Kathy Buckley doesn't need to do this. I mean, let's look. She's
right.
Part of this,
right.
Her company. They rebuilt 95.
Right.
You know, they it's a very successful construct. They built skyscrapers, for God's sakes. So, you know, she does it because she loves her community. She loves her country. You know, I can't say enough about Kathy Buckley.
But I'm humble at the fact that she didn't come on here like that. She didn't come on here like that. I'm surprised. She came on here humble. No. She came on here talking about her school district. She came on here talking about, you know, only thing she didn't say was the immigrants that they moved in her community that she, you know, that probably needs to be undone when this next president get in office. But that's how you value a person. When they don't come throwing things in your face about how successful they are or about what they've done or about what their family has done and stuff like that. And the problem is that Donald Trump has been in the trenches with more African-American than anybody on the other side there. And yet, you know, when he was a Democrat holding their hands up from Muhammad Ali to Bernard Hopkins in the ring, you know, that's why he has a relationship with the black community. The fact that he gave 31 pardons when he was president to African-Americans specifically, you know, to get them their lives back and stuff like that. That's why he's there. And so anytime we get a person who has accomplished a lot, like Kathy, who come on here and humble herself and say she's out there herself, Brian. Now, she's out there walking the streets and knocking the doors herself. Tell me she not, Brian.
Yeah.
She out there herself doing this work right here.
She's solid as a rock. I mean, it's, honestly, you go to the polls, I don't care what party you're in. Like the previous gentleman said, this is a general election. So you can, if you're a Democrat, you're independent, whatever, you can vote for the Republican side. Just give Kathy a look. She's solid. But I'm going to tell you another reason I called.
All right, Brian, I got 30 seconds, Brian, before I go to the next commercial and me and Wanda are going to end this show. But so can you give it to me in 30 seconds, please?
I can. I joined it. Listen, rightcount.org, RIGHTCOUNT.org. Mm-hmm. Check it out. They're a nonpartisan coalition, nonprofit. Their simple mission is election integrity. Doesn't matter what party you're from. It's all about counting the votes properly, election day procedures, rightcount.org. Okay. Check.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you so much, man. You know, you always got a home here on Monday from 2 to 3. Life is a gamble, and we taking a big gamble to win this election come next week. You know, and so we're gonna have to put. All I can tell people is, you know, put the blinders on your horse or put your dog in the little corral, and then next week we're gonna go ahead and you're gonna hear a bell ring. So we're gonna let it go because you know we hoping on a Tuesday to say nah 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 nah. Nah, 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 nah. Hey.
Oh, boy.
Look, man, thank you, Brian. I appreciate it. We're going to take
step and everything.
There you go. There you go. We're going to take a two-minute break, Wanda. You and I are going to come back and close the show.
Okay.
See you, Wanda.
Take care.
All right, take care. See
Vision
you.
Loss is not something that you feel until it happens.
Most people lose their vision from diseases like macular degeneration and glaucoma, not at birth.
With macular degeneration, you lose your central vision.
You have a blind spot right in the center of your face, so I can't actually see your face.
So even that little circle in which I could see became a big blur.
I was 65 when I first was diagnosed with glaucoma.
There were no symptoms. I had no headaches.
3 million Americans have glaucoma, and half don't even know it.
11 million people in the United States have macular degeneration.
You lose mobility, independence, changes your entire life.
So many eye disorders can be treated if caught early.
My husband tells me that I have beautiful brown eyes, and I don't want to lose that.
Make a plan today to get your eyes checked.
Visit brightfocus.org to learn more.
You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away,
know when to run. So, Wanda. So what I like for you to talk about, and I don't think folks really clearly understand in the city right here, is the utilities. How these utilities work, how these bills work. And I've just recently was exposed to the landlord paying for the utilities that the tenant run up. I always thought that the utilities travel with the tenant. It wasn't incumbent of the landlord to pay a back bill owed by the tenant. When did they start this, or is it just something that they're doing with you?
I can answer some of this, and I'm still, believe it or not, still trying to get answers, because when you ask for answers, they don't want to give you official answers because you're asking something no one else has asked. But because I've been hit so hard. And I started off fighting a $3,000 bill that wasn't mine. Now it's a $20,000 bill. Mm. And it's 20 because three different collection agencies are contacting me with an amount, like $3,000. And I'm like, okay, show me where this amount came from. Because it's not just one tenant or anything. It's several tenants. And then they started transferring this alleged bill to four different property addresses of mine, four different good standing accounts, to then make those accounts a delinquent and bad so that they could then threaten to turn off the power to those other accounts. So if the transferring, just the mere fact that they're making a landlord pay somebody else's responsibility, when the bill was actually coming in the tenant's name and the tenant was paying it or halfway paying it, it's fine. But when the tenant leaves your building, if they leave a bill unpaid, then somehow city council and the state reps have allowed, and I'm not sure if it's all city council, and I do believe it might be more state representatives where this was allowed. Like,
well, no. So we have someone who sits on a utilities commission.
And yes,
that so who is that person, and why aren't we going after that person?
Several city council. Curtis Jones, I think, is with PICO. I remember Derek Green was with the gas company. I remember Alan Don was with the electric company. So there's several different city council people who sit on different utility boards. But then you have to ask yourself, where did the legislation or the bill come from? And at this level, I'm trying to get people to understand, it's our city council that's supposed to first stand up and speak for us and represent us and protect us. So it can't even make it to this other level where it then ends up getting passed. But we also have people in the state level, and I've gone to my state representative and other state representatives and asked, how did this happen? Because this literally goes against my constitutional rights. How do you have a contract with someone else? They're paying you, they stop paying you, and then you say, because they live in my building, I'm responsible for their bill. Next, you'll be telling me I have to pay somebody's car note. And that's exactly how bad it's gotten in Philadelphia. The common sense factor goes out the window because we have Democrats in control for 72 years. We've been on a poor big city list for 30. Black people have been happy with turkeys, tampons, and book bags for the last 20. And so they do whatever they want to because we don't stand up and say enough is enough.
So who is our Republican that's in city council? We only have one because I think the Working Family Party had found a way to eliminate us out of council. So who's the Republican that's there?
What is his name? Oh, my God, you just asked me that, and then I'm forgetting his name, and I'm going to kill myself for doing that. It'll come to me, but we only have one.
Don't kill yourself on this show. You know what I mean? We, you know, stay alive, you know, so we don't want to kill ourselves.
We only have one city council person that is Republican, and we have two that are Working Family Party, and we have 14 that are Democrats, and out of those 14, two or three of them move like they're Working Family Party. But what we do have, also people need to know, is 58% of city council is black and brown. It was 68%. So ask yourself, how can you have that much representation and still be on the bottom. So the fact that you've been on the poor big C list for 30 years and now you're number one paying the most taxes, but your politicians are the fourth highest paid. It make sense.
Well, look. So I'm hoping that after this election next week, and we can begin to mobilize, because we do not have a relationship with the leadership of the GOP here, because they had gone a whole nother way. In fact, I think they've cost us one of the seats. So look, you know, Monday you got a home here. Every Monday you got a home here. You know, whether you're in the studio or co-hosting on the phone, you know, call in or come in, either way. So we can see if we can fix this problem right here. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for co-hosting with me. I appreciate you so much. Are you rolling them or are you passing them today?
I am always rolling, and people need to start showing up with me at city council. And Brian O'Neill is our one Republican.
There you go. You know, I had to wait till you got it out.
It had to come to me.
Thank you so much. Yep. Appreciate you so much.
You're
welcome. Have a tremendous day. We're going to leave here. Have a good one, everybody. There's no exception to